Welcome to the Kentish Lifelong Learning and Care Educators Matter session. My name is Robin and today I'm interviewing Stuart Davidson and he's going to be talking to the absolutely top care educators and myself about stress and the importance of mindfulness. Welcome, Stuart.
Hi. The first thing I think I need to say is that stress is a very important and natural phenomenon. Stress gives us the energy sometimes to do things, as well as takes away the energy of doing things and makes us immobile. So stress is a natural behaviour in the sympathetic nervous system, which helps us either fight an activity, run from an activity, flight, or relax and freeze. So you have to understand that stress has got positive and negative
connotations. Okay.
Now, when the stress is getting to the point where it's stopping you managing your life, what's kind of happened is, if you imagine a can of Coke, all your feelings have been mixed up, so the gas in the Coke is really tight, and if you open the lid, everything explodes.
Yes.
So you've got to ease the Coke can open and let all the stuff come out
slowly.
So mindfulness allows the body and the brain, because the body and the brain are linked when you do mindfulness, to reduce stresses in your life, no matter what they are. They might be relationship stresses, they might be financial stresses, they might just be, you know, day-to-day
life in general. Yeah.
And remember that what stresses you today may not have stressed you last week.
Mm.
It's a very
situational
thing. Because
it's like a tipping point, isn't it? You get their little things and then something minor happens and you just go off because it wasn't that, it was the 44 things before then, and that was just the tip.
Exactly. And the other thing is that what stresses you might not stress your next door neighbour.
Yes.
It's a very personal thing.
Or the children, I'd imagine, too. Yeah. You know, that what stresses one child.
But if you imagine
no effect
stress
on the other.
Is a feeling in your body that you cannot cope anymore with all the incoming information, so you need to stop it. Now, mindfulness is a technique that's been around for about 5,000 years, and it, you know, the yoga has used it and so on. And about 15 years ago, Western psychology discovered mindfulness. And if anybody really wants to get into it, there's a great YouTube stuff by a guy called John Zabat-Kinn.
How do you spell that?
J-O-N Zabat, Z-A-B-A-T, Kinn, K-I-N.
And what's his stuff about?
And he talks about mindfulness.
Okay.
And he's a psychiatrist who's worked with all kinds of people, drug addicts, all kinds of people in California. He travels the world teaching mindfulness. And the basic technique of mindfulness is so simple that people seem to have difficulty with it.
Mm.
You sit down with your back straight or you lie down in a place where you know you're not going to get disturbed for 5 or 10 minutes. And you focus on your breath.
Mm.
Some people like to have their eyes open, some I prefer my eyes closed, but you make your breathing regular. Now, physiologically, what you're doing is that when you make your breathing regular, your heart is a pump, and it is able then to pump blood into your brain at a regular speed. And as it's, because it doesn't need to be deep breathing or light breathing, because your body breathes all the time, you don't even think about it. You just keep it regular. When that good blood gets to your brain, if you're thinking about your breathing, you're getting rid of all the rubbish that's been bothering you, and it's giving you some time out.
So it's really that you're focusing on one thing totally rather than all the stuff.
Now, the best way that I can describe mindfulness is, because the brain's very creative and it'll keep popping up new ideas. But as you're thinking about your breathing, imagine you're a car park. Cars come into the car park and they leave the car park. You don't get involved with them. You just let them come in.
Sure. That's good analogy.
So if a thought pops in your head, you just accept it and go back to breathing again. Don't worry about it. Don't follow up. When you've done a few days of breathing regularly and you feel relaxed, the next stage is to think about your body as you're breathing. And as you're thinking about your body, you'll have little itchy bits in your toes, or you'll feel a muscle at the back of your knee sore, or you'll become aware of different parts of your body that are tense. So just in your mind, breathe into that tension. Breathe it away. That's an actual yoga technique, but it's part of mindfulness as well. So if you've got a sore knee or you've got arthritis in your fingers or...
So when you say breathe in, you mean you're meaning visualize the breaths going...
Breathing out.
Right, okay.
So you just visualize breathing out through that point. And after you've done it for a few minutes, what you're basically telling your brain is you're accepting your pain and the brain lets go and you don't feel it anymore. Go somewhere else. So you become aware of your body and you become aware of all the tense bits in your body and you can tell yourself to relax it. Now sometimes you might relax it by moving your jaw or moving your body just for a second and then go back to regular breathing.
And do you find that sometimes, or my experience has been that sometimes your body automatically sort of, like your leg will twitch or,
that's part of the relaxation.
The relaxation, yes.
The third stage of mindfulness is when you get really good at this, then you can think of something and follow it through. So you might think, I want to be a good musician. So you think about that and as you're breathing quietly, and what do you need to do to be a good musician? You need to buy an instrument. You need to set time for practice. You need to go somewhere to find out about the instrument. It might be YouTube or it might be a teacher, or you need to prepare and plan and set time aside to do the thing you want. And as you make that plan through your mind, you're actually mindfully thinking how to do it. And you're not getting a million other thoughts flooding in, telling you what you can't do and what, so on, or all the reasons why you can't do it. You're only thinking about whatever you're thinking on. Now that could be anything. It could be about being a better educator or learning a language or cooking a recipe. But you're basically getting rid of all the chatter.
Yes.
In your brain, because your brain's very creative and it keeps wanting to chatter and so on, calming it down.
So this is really something that the educators could do with the children as well.
Easy with the kids. You get the kids to lie flat on the ground, play some nice relaxing music and take them a walk in their mind through a park.
So you tell them a story.
Yeah. You tell them a story. Kids relate to stories.
Yeah.
And they'll go into a mindfulness situation.
Mm.
So relax. What I often do with kids is I talk them through baby yoga. They have to stand, put their hands on their heads, and do the frog, and then they lie down in a park but under a tree, so they can feel the sun in their eyes, but they're under a tree, and they just breathe slowly. And then you tell them a story. And you'll see their hands twitching and stuff like that. Because a lot of kids have never actually stopped moving in their whole life.
Other than when they're sleeping.
But even when they're sleeping.
They're still active.
So if you can get them to calm down. And one of the things you might say to a child is, you're only allowed to move your pinky.
Right. So
they've got something that they can move.
And that's a discipline in itself.
Yeah.
That's
so
good.
Mindfulness is, just to recap, you start by concentrating on your breathing.
Yes.
And then you look
at
your
body.
Well,
you sit all lie. I think that getting... Yeah. So
I always lie down. And don't worry if you fall asleep afterwards, because that's the body going
relaxing.
Into a natural state of relaxation. So then you think about your body. And the next stage when you get a bit better at it, and then you can, once you get really good at it, and you can go into a mindful state quickly, and that usually takes about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you can think about something that you want to really explore.
And so how often should you do it? Every day?
Every day, for at least 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
I probably do mindfulness twice a day. I do it in the morning when I wake up, as a bit of a break between the alarm going and hitting the shower.
Yeah.
And I do it just before I go to bed, just before I fall asleep, and I find it helps me go into a deep sleep as well.
Yeah, that's great.
Or if I wake up in the middle of the night, with the dog barking or something like that, I might do just a few minutes mindfulness.
Yes.
And go back to sleep again.
Yes, yes. So I guess this is a good one. Speaking of sleep, this would be a good one for any of the educators who do have a problem with sleeping or for any of the children.
Stress often affects our sleep.
Yes, anxiety.
Affects our diet and so on. So the first thing to recognise is that if your behaviour is not normal or it's a bit different, you're probably a bit stressed and you need to take some steps to reduce your stress. And you don't need to take pills.
No.
Or, you know, you might take a lot more water
because
water is a brain food.
Yes.
And a lot more water is good for the blood, it's good for the
hydrates,
brain, and it's good for you relaxing your muscles.
That's a good point with the children too, that often they're very dehydrated, aren't they? Particularly if they've come from school and just that whole... I think it's a whole package, isn't it? Obviously, avoid sugary drinks, and
if you're a smoker, you want to cut down on the smoking, because smoking is a stressor. People think it's not, but it actually is. The process of the ritual that you go through when you light up a cigarette is a relaxant, but the actual cigarette smoking is a stressor.
Yes.
It stimulates them.
Well, we'll be very mindful, Stuart. Thank you very much. So any time of day, any time you've got that 5 to 10 minutes, and just don't be concerned. What I heard you, my take on what I heard you say is, don't be concerned if you've still got that chatter. If you keep practicing it, you do get better at it and the chatter goes.
Yeah,
fantastic. Okay, thank you very much again, Stuart, for this great session.
Okay.